Good morning. It's awesome to be here worshiping with you guys, lifting up praise to our Heavenly Father. Today we're starting a new series called Living With Yourself, and it's really all about how we relate to ourselves, how we learn to love ourselves as God intended us to do so. You know, you're the one person you can't get away from. You know, if somebody's in a bad mood in your house, you might have a go-to spot that you go to get away from that person. In my house, I don't know how it works in your house, but in our house, if there's trouble going on in the home, my kids, they scatter to their rooms. They're gone. I have a spot. If it gets bad, I go to the man cave. If it gets really bad, I go to the shed. I'm not under the same roof. Gabrielle's favorite spot is she'll pull her car into the garage and then sit on her phone just like a long time. Like, I know I heard the garage door go up, but where's mom? She's in the car. She's in the car. She didn't want to come in. You probably have a go-to spot too. But look, if you're in a bad place, if you're in a bad mood, what do? Nowhere to run, right? And so this series, man, my prayer has been that at the end of this series that you and I will all have a healthy self-image of who we are in Christ. And we base our identity and we base our worth on what he says is true about us. Not what anyone else says is true about us. Not even what the lies that we believe about ourselves are true. But what he says alone is true. I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to relate to myself, I fall in two extremes. I'm either self-deprecating and I'm worthless and I'm no good and why did I do that? And I stink and I'm mad at myself and I'm disappointed in myself. Or I get really enamored and obsessed and infatuated with myself. And look, neither one of those extremes are where God intends us to live. He intends us to live in our identity in Christ. You know, if we get this right, man, everything else sort of clicks. If we get this wrong, if we can't relate to ourselves in a healthy way, it will keep and prevent us from getting closer to our Heavenly Father. If you and I can't get this right in our hearts and in our minds and see ourselves the right way, it will prevent us, it'll sabotage the relationships in our life. And so we're going to press in today and the next several weeks on what does it mean? What does it look like? How do we really grab a hold of who we are in Christ so that you and I, listen, are free to live for things greater than ourselves? That's what God intends. And so we're going to jump in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's interesting, you know, putting this series together. God has a lot to say about how you view you. And he says things like this in his word. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited that I am not the same person I used to be. And I hope it gets you excited too. If that thought has never excited you, then maybe you haven't seen the big picture, the whole idea of what God is trying to convey with this idea of there being a new you in Christ. Because I think oftentimes when we come to faith, we cross over that line of faith. Sometimes all we see are the expectations of the new life and not the benefits of the new life. The expectations of the new life are now I got to go to church and now I got to be a part of group and now I'm supposed to serve. And my time is getting needed. I got to read my Bible and I'm supposed to pray and I'm supposed to serve others. We can get weighted down with all the expectations of the new life and yet not see the benefits of the new life. And this idea that the old has gone, listen to this, your old thoughts are gone. The way you used to think, gone. Your old attitudes, gone. Your old habits can be gone. Your old way of looking at life, gone. The way you're looking at yourself, gone. And replaced by something new and something beautiful that God intends for us to walk in. And it says this, I don't know if you caught it in the first word of the verse, it says, therefore. And anytime the Bible says, therefore, you need to know why, what it's therefore. All right, a couple of y'all have been with me a while. You got to know what that means. Go back a verse or two and figure out what it's there for. And so this is the verse previous to that verse when it says we are a new creation in Christ. It says this, so from now on, that's a change, right? So from now on, we're going to do something different here. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. That includes you. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. What's he saying? He said, you remember when we used to think Jesus was just a carpenter? He was a rabbi. He was just a teacher or a miracle worker. And we had this preconceived idea of who Jesus was. And then, bam, the resurrection occurred. And everything got flipped on its ear. And Jesus wasn't this human. He was this divine being that dwelt among us. And as wrong as we were about who Jesus is, we've also been wrong about who we are. It's radically different as our picture of Jesus has become. We are as radically different ourselves, that this new creation and this old creation are so radically different than what we could ever imagine if we are in Christ. It says we're new. It says we're a new creation. Now, when you go to buy a new phone, you want a new phone. And sometimes they try to pawn off something else on you, and it's called a refurbished phone. You ever had that happen? You get a refurbished phone. It's just not the same. All they do is they're taking an old phone, they swap out a few parts, they clean it up a little bit, and they ship it out to you like it's a new phone. You're like, that's not what I want. I want new in the box. I want never touched by human hands. I want a new phone. Man, this is mine and nobody else's. Guys, listen, when God says, I'm going to make you new and into a new creation, listen, you're not a refurbished person. You are a new person. God isn't going to take you and fix you up a little bit. He wants to radically change your identity. He wants to radically change how you view yourself. He wants to radically change how you view others because you're new, brand new, out of the box new. You ever say this? Man, I feel like a new man. You ever said that? If you're a lady, that's kind of awkward, right? You get a pass. There's a few things in my that there's certain things that happen in my life. I mean, I just like, yes. When my hair gets scraggly, scruffy, where I used to work, they call it the Hasselhoff effect. You know, it was like wavy. I hate it when it goes down over my ears. And then I get a haircut and it's back up off my ears. I go, oh man, I feel like a new man. Or I'm really hungry and I just want my belly full, and then I get it. And I sit down and I go, oh, I feel like a new man. Or I'm really sleepy. And you get a good night's sleep, like your wife shakes you three times because you're snoring sleepy. And you get a good night's rest and you wake up and go, golly, I feel like a new man. That is exactly the feeling. That is exactly the emotion. That is exactly the intention that God wants us to feel, that we are made new in him. We're not the same. When we cross that line of faith, so many things change. When we become in Christ, so many things change. And I'll be honest with you, the one that I was focused on at first was this idea that my debts were paid. And I think in the church, we talk a lot about that, that when we come to know Christ, that our sin debt was paid by an almighty God, that we owed him a debt, and we are indebted to God because of his holiness, because of our sinfulness, and we had this debt to pay. And not only were we indebted to God, that he intervened, and he paid that debt, that Christ on the cross paid that debt, and now that we are declared free from all debt. And let me tell you something, that's a beautiful thing. And it's true. And that's part of your new identity and my new identity in Christ, that we have had our debts paid. But let me tell you something, this new creation goes way beyond simply that. If that's all you think the results and the benefits of the gospel are, God, I got some great news. There is so much more that God bestows and grants to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a few. The new creation means we get a new nature. That means that we no longer have to live for ourselves, but we have a new desire to live for the things of God. When Christ comes in and we're new in Christ, we sang about this. We were once slaves to sin, but now we are no longer slaves to sin, that we are actually victorious over sin in Christ Jesus. Our old nature, all we wanted is what we wanted when we wanted it. But in our new nature, we can look beyond those base desires and we can want the things of God. In our old nature, our spirits were dead. You weren't just sick spiritually. You and I were dead spiritually. We couldn't commune with God. He felt so far away. He was this thought or idea that we couldn't get near. And yet now, because our spirits have been made alive in Christ, now we have this beautiful relationship with God, and we can commune with God, and we can connect with Him in a way that is real and tangible in our spirit. In this old life, we were alone. In this new life, there is one who walks with us every single day. That the abiding Spirit of God comes and takes residence in your life if you are in Christ, and you are never, ever alone again. And He empowers us to live in this victory, to live with the right desires in order to live as God intended, that we have all that in Christ Jesus. This new nature is something else. It's so much greater than the old way of life. We have this unchanging identity that is found only in one place, and it is in Christ Himself. In fact, I want to unpack that a little bit further, and so we're going to go to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. It does a beautiful job of explaining what does this new nature look like. It says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Didn't we just sing about that? "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." This new creation means we get this new family, and He is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters, and we have this new identity that I am a child of God. And that means everything. It means everything. It also means we get a new wardrobe. Did you catch that? We get a new wardrobe. It says that all you who are in Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. What does that mean? We've been clothed with Christ. Now, maybe you have a brand. Maybe you have a certain label that you like. Let's just say it's Gucci. Anybody wear Gucci? I don't know fashion. I couldn't think of another one. All right, so let's go with Gucci. Let's say Gucci's your brand, and you wear Gucci clothes, and you wear Gucci bling, and you wear Gucci shoes, and you got a Gucci bag, and you are like Gucci lady. And if somebody meets you and they can't remember your name, they would say, "You know, the Gucci lady." And, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about." In the same way, we've been clothed with Christ, and He is our defining characteristic. Back in my day, I don't know about your day, back in my day, it was a little alligator on your shirt. Remember Izod? And if you had the little alligator on your shirt, you were cool. And man, I'd never had one of those. Explains a lot. I've never been cool. But listen, that meant everything. If you had the right label, listen, when you and I embrace Jesus Christ as the defining characteristic of our life, we get clothed with Christ, and He becomes the defining characteristic. He becomes the thing we're identified by. He becomes the thing that is our label. He is our brand. He is our life. Here's the whole point of what I'm trying to get through to you. Being in Christ is meant to define you more than anything else. You being in Christ ought to be your go-to, "Who am I?" answer to the question, "Who am I?" I am in Christ, and that means everything to me because I am in Him. So you got to answer, how do you answer the question, "Who am I?" Can you say, "I am a child of God. I am holy. I was once not, but now I've been made holy, and I've been given the righteousness of Christ. I was once a foreigner and alien, and now I've been accepted by the holy God of the universe. I was once far away and in my sin, and yet now I've been forgiven, and that is who I am." Your first identification is Christ. Let me just say, if that's not your go-to, if that's not how you see yourself, if that's not how you define your worth, then you have replaced it with something that is a phony and a fake. And your identity has been stolen. You ever gotten your identity stolen? We got our bank account hacked a few years ago. It's good times, isn't it? You got to close that account and move the money over and start a new account and all that stuff. If your credit card gets thing, you got to cut up your cards and fight with them over the charges. It's a hassle. I hated it. And we get so mad if somebody has the audacity to steal our identity and say, man, I'm going to pretend to be them and I'm going to use their money. I'm going to use their account. Man, we get ticked off. And yet somehow we give ourselves a pass in doing the very same thing, that we are stealing our own identity when it ought to be found in Christ alone. And maybe you don't even realize you're doing it, that you're robbing your identity, that God has given you a new identity. You are a new creation. Don't dare see yourself the way you used to see yourself. Don't you dare see yourself like other people have said you are. You see yourself as Christ sees you alone. Give him praise for that. There's some identity thieves. There's some identity thieves that were happening back in the first century. They're listed here in this passage. We're going to look at those. There's some things that are always trying to steal our identity. And so he goes on to say this. You clothe yourself with Christ. And when you do, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen, you are no longer defined by the things that the world tries to define you by. You and I are no longer defined by our ethnicity. He said, listen, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, that was a big deal back then. And I know we have racial tensions today, and we try to categorize people, and we put them in certain lumps. But listen, whatever the black, white, brown controversy is today, it pales in comparison to the tension between Jew and Gentile. There was hatred. There was separation. There was animosity. There was killing. And he says, no longer are you to define yourselves and each other this way. This thing about being in Christ is bigger than your national heritage. That pales to being in Christ. And then he says, this is bigger than what you do. This is bigger than your vocation. He said, there is neither slave nor free. Now, I don't know what your job is, but you're probably not in slavery. You wouldn't be sitting here today. Can you imagine? There's slave owners and then there's slaves. And that's a horrible thing to even consider, that's been a part of our human history. But he's saying, listen, regardless of your station in life and your position and what you do for a job and what you do for a living, none of that matters in Christ. In our world, we put high value on certain jobs and we put low value on other jobs. And yet in God's eyes, there is equal value regardless of what you do, regardless of how much you make, regardless of the position you have, regardless of how many letters are before and after your name. It doesn't matter in Christ. He said, we're a family and we all have different chores we've been assigned. You have chores at your house? We got chores in our house. Kids have to keep their rooms clean. They have to do their own laundry now. Hallelujah. Gabe does a lot of the chores. I'm not going to lie. Stand up here and lie. But Dane does the trash. Every Monday night he takes out the trash. The girls do the dishes. They rotate doing the dishes and the floors. And we all have our jobs. And when Gabe cooks, guess who cleans? It's most of the time me. It's supposed to be all the time me. We all have our chores in the family. And listen, God says your job doesn't define you. Your station in life doesn't define you. Don't you dare let the world tell you how much you're valued based on what you make and how much respect a job is given. You do your job to the glory of God, and God will say, well done. I don't care what the job is. Number three. He says, there's neither male nor female. Listen, we are not defined by our gender. Because in God's eyes, male and female have equal and perfectly equal and balanced value in his eyes. They are both of equal worth. Your gender isn't what matters most. That's not what defines you. I think that's what bothers me so much about this transgender, gender confusion that we see happening in our culture today. Because regardless of what your gender is, it will not be sufficient to define you. Regardless of how you view yourself in that light, there's still this thing of being in Christ that supersedes anything else, and that whatever gender you think you are or choose to be or don't like and want to change, it's still not enough to satisfy you. Your identity is to be found in Christ. Look, being a guy or being a gal, if you're far from God, man, you're missing out on the best things of life. We're empty apart from Him. Our gender is a part of us, but it is not what defines us. So those are three issues in Paul's day, when he wrote Galatians, and God brought those to light. But if I think God would say there's some other things that we're allowing us to define ourselves today that are not in this list that I want to talk about with you. And one of them is sexuality. That where people are, and we see it over and over in our culture, that people are trying to find their identity and their sexual orientation or their sexual conquest. Listen, it breaks my heart to know that there's kids in high school and middle school declaring their sexual orientations today, and they are confused. And I firmly believe they are looking and longing for the love and acceptance that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Because regardless of what sexuality you claim to have, you will never find significance in a relationship other than in the relationship with Jesus Christ. That boy and that girl will not give you the identity and the satisfaction you need. I think if God was speaking to us today, He would also say, listen, your identity is not found in your performance. How good you are, how bad you are. How awesome you killed it today or how much you blew it today. How moral you were and how despicable you were. Listen, if you are in Christ Jesus and you have a good day, God has elevated you, and in Christ you are here. And if you have a good day, you don't get elevated above that. And if you have a bad day, you don't get lowered below it. It's not based on your performance. It isn't based on how good you are at something. Man, we value talent and we value ability. We think, oh man, look at how good they are in that skill or that sport or that thing, and they're good at their job, whatever it is. And we say, oh man, I feel good about myself because I'm good at something. Oh man, I feel bad about myself because I'm not as talented as that other person. God says, listen, your identity has nothing to do with your performance. And other people will try to ascribe value to you based on how good or bad you are at things, but don't you dare let them. Don't you dare let them steal your identity in Christ Jesus. Last one I want to talk to you about is, I think oftentimes we get our identity stolen that ought to be in Christ because of our past. We let the things in our past get in the way of this simple truth that is no longer who you are. That you were old, but now you've been made new. That you were once apart from Christ, but now you are in Christ. And that old you isn't you anymore. And the things that you carry around is shame and guilt and condemnation and the feelings of unworthiness, that none of those things are true anymore because God has made you worthy in Christ Jesus. Man, if we lined up and said, listen, I'm going to try to earn my worth before God's eyes, none of us would have that. None of us would qualify. We would all be found unworthy. If any of these things If any of these things we just talked about supersedes your identity in Christ, you haven't grabbed hold of what this means, that you are in Christ, that you are a child of God. If something else comes ahead, if you see yourself in any other way than in Christ, then you haven't fully grasped what I'm trying to tell you today, what we just sang about today, that the being a child of God ought to define you more than anything else. And if anything else places a close second, yeah, I'm a child of God, but. Yeah, I'm forgiven, but. Yes, I'm accepted, but. We need to kick those buts to the curb. That was a Jeff joke. It went over good, so you get credit. There's no but in that statement. I am a child of God, period. That is who I am. And if you doubt that, keep repeating yourself that over and over again until it finally sinks in. And they're not just words and they're not just thoughts, but they are a core belief of who you are, that this is where my worth lies. This is where my value is. This is my identity, and nothing can take it from me. I am a child of the living God. Amen. Give him praise. Being in Christ is meant to define you more than anything else. So this morning, today is not a call to action. We're not going to ask you to do anything. What I'm asking you to do is to believe something. Believe that not to just be true generally. Believe that to be true for you specifically. Yes, I am a child of God. And discipline your mind to let all those other things go. Discipline your mind to reject the other notions. Discipline your thinking to know I am a child of the living God. And anything that tries to bust through that filter and elevate itself above or even come close to second, that you rip it down in the name of Christ. And he strips all those things away. And what is left is Christ. And you'll find that it's enough. You'll find that it is sufficient. You'll just find that it's satisfying to be found in Christ alone. It is the identity for everyone who is in Christ. And so my final question is, are you in Christ? Do you know that you're in Christ? Well, how do I know that? Have you let Christ in to your life? That's how you become in Christ, is you let him in. He is knocking at your heart's door, and he says, I long to be a part of your life. And when you're finally tired of the old self and you're ready for the new self, I want to come in and give you new life. If you're tired of the old sins and the old habits and the old attitudes and you want a newness in me, I can give it to you if you'll let me in. Do you believe I died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe I rose from the dead to give you new life? And if you believe those things about Christ, if God is granting you that faith today, then you can invite Christ in and say, yes, would you remake me and make me new? I want to be in Christ. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for this profound truth that in Christ we have all things. Everything that our heart longs for is found in you. We lack nothing when we're in you. This world can't define us when we're in you. And so, God, I pray for your church right now that we wouldn't just acknowledge that truth, we would breathe that truth. Every day it would meet us when we wake, and it would be our defining thing about our lives. And you'd set us free from all these other things that are trying to steal our identity. In fact, I want to just ask you, if you're declaring today that I'm going to find my identity in Christ alone, just as an act of faith, nobody needs to look around, just as an act of faith, slip your hand up and say, God, today I'm going to find my identity in Christ alone. Raise your hand as an act of faith to him. God, I'm finding my identity in you today. Praise God. I'm finding my, not by my past, not by my performance, not by anything else. I'm finding it in you alone. Praise God. And if you're sitting here this morning, you say, man, I finally get it. I need to be in Christ. Everything I've been longing for is found in him. and I'm ready to invite Jesus in. He's not going to just forgive me and save me. He's going to lead me, and I want to follow him the rest of my life. If that is your prayer today, would you just raise your hand and say, today I want to receive Christ in my, I'm going to invite Jesus in. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? I want to invite Jesus into my life. Would you pray with me and say, Jesus, come in and make me new. Forgive me of my sin. Make me righteous in your sight. I believe you died and you rose from the dead for me. And I place all my trust in you. Will you forgive me? Will you lead me? I want to be found in Christ forevermore. God, we thank you. We thank you that all you call us to do is believe. And when we believe what is true about us, you change us from the inside out, and we'll be wrecked and we'll never be the same again. God, I pray that for each one of us. Wreck us. May we be found in Christ. If there's something steal our identity, maybe just take a moment right now and let God know. This has been something I've been trying to find my identity in, God. But now I'm finding it in you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this family. Thank you for all the benefits of knowing you. We give you praise today for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.